welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 2, episode 32, and episode 70-something. I don't know. I've lost count.
Oh, no.
No, I usually write it at the top of my notebook.
I know.
And I did not do that today, so I don't know why.
I blame it on the newborn.
Episode,
blame it on the baby.
Episode 77.
Okay.
There you go. All is right.
Just didn't feel right.
Anyway, how's it going, guys?
Oh, it goes. How about you?
It goes. When we release this show, it'll be March 9th, and Alex will be a month old, which is crazy to me.
Wow. Go by fast, didn't it?
It really does. That means I'm going back to work in 2 months, which is scary.
Well, but you're still going to be off work for longer than you have been.
Yeah, English language versus words. I know.
Yeah. Do you still have more time off than yeah?
I know. Talk to me in 2 weeks and I'll be real disappointed. Although I may have to go a week later because we're having conflicts with the baptism date, which was going to be probably April 15th. And then my aunt and my grandma were here this past weekend, and apparently they're going to Key West that week. And we needed to consult with them first. And
I'm sorry.
I know.
I don't know why I thought that was so funny.
I mean, it is kind of funny when you think about it. I know. The 62-year-old and the 87-year-old are going to Key West for the week, so I've got to reschedule my baptism.
And you can't go to their great-grandson's baptism because they're going to be in Key West.
Yeah, so.
Like, drinking some Hemingway daiquiris and like.
I don't know. Partying at the porch or whatever the place is called down there.
Ooh, that really just got me.
I know. So that's I asked my grandma this morning, I was like, is there any way you could possibly reschedule this? Because otherwise the next available date was May 13th, which is Mother's Day, which is fine, except I'm supposed to go back to work May 7th. And then, so I'm going to have to go back to work and then, you know, immediately use the 3 days of PTO I have left to come up for the baptism.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and I can't, like, my baptism will be on a Sunday. I can't just, you know, drive home afterwards or fly home.
I out of there.
Yeah. So, because there's going to be a party or something, I would assume, like we had for Zach, like you do for baptisms. Or at least like my family does. So then we'd have, you know, then we'd leave the next day and it would just be a little whatever. So I would probably just ask to take another week and a day off, but then it's another week and a day off unpaid. So I don't know. And then I was trying to think, well, maybe if I barter to go back for a few days, like while unpaid, but like work unpaid, but then take the unpaid days and get paid. You know what I mean? Like, it got very complicated in my mind at 5 a.m. when I was thinking about it the other day. So I just need
Can't they just change their vacation?
Yeah, that's what I asked them.
And that seems like the easier option.
That's what I asked her this morning. And she said my aunt's getting her house like redone or something. And there's a ridiculous amount of money getting put into it. And she wants to be there. So I don't know. Figure it out.
I will say that's got to be some sort of difference between Catholics and Protestants, though, right? Or maybe just Lutherans, because I know, like, I think I was baptized like 3 or 4 days after I was born. It's like, get that baby saved right away.
I think it depends on the church, too, and when the parent gets it taken care of, because I saw a friend who had her 2 sons baptized on Sunday, actually, and I just saw it on Facebook, and I think one of them is 6 or 5. One of them is 5, and the other one is 7 months. So I think it just depends also when the parents
get
that done. Yeah, I feel like Congregationalists are like that too. It's just sort of like, we'll take you whenever.
I just remember when I first started dating Frank, like, he has a necklace. It's like from his baptism. It has engraved like his name and the date that he was baptized, and it's like his like family hold or whatever, like put into the chain and everything. It's very common in France, and France, of course, being a Catholic country, like he was baptized Catholic. And I remember the first time I saw that, like, looking at the date and just being kind of like, what? Did I, like, misunderstand his age? Like, do I not?
Did oh,
I
not you didn't realize that it wasn't within a few days.
Because it's the next year. It's like, and it's, so he's born towards the end of the year, and I think he was about, I don't know, it's like 6 months later or something like that, but it's the next calendar year. So I was like seriously confused by like, how is that possible?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. You got it. That's the way of the Lutherans anyway. Well, the Lutherans that I grew up with. you get that baby, just in case anything happens, you get that baby right away.
That's you. You would think the Catholics would too, because we're so, you know, focused on saving your soul, but in a different way. Like, you know.
Yeah, like if the baby was like sickly, I'm sure. Like it's like, oh, get that priest in the hospital room.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's like, very.
If it's
true.
A perfectly healthy kid, mm-hmm. I can see me. I'm like, ah, we can let it go a few weeks.
You're like, ah, they've got medical bills; they can't make their suggested thank you donation for a few months, so we'll take them whenever.
Yeah. We'll JK. Take them when you know your bank statements are like looking better.
Yeah. JK, I did get my. Oh my God, we're having a little bit of a panic attack over here. Alex is, he's not under an insurance yet because we're putting him under Jay's insurance because my insurance is awesome, but it's only awesome for an individual plan. Once you expand it to a family plan, it gets not so awesome. So the Google plan, though, is much better for families. So the boys are under Jay's plan and I'm under my own plan. So Jay called Google to add him to the plan like the week after he was born or whatever. And they said that you have to have his social security number. So we applied for his social security number and his birth certificate at the same time in the hospital, like that you fill out a form and then you turn it in and you know, that's that. And it takes 4 to 6 weeks. Or, I'm sorry. It takes 4 weeks to on average to get it back in North Carolina. And I remember Zax came back in time, the social security number. That's where I'm going.
I think we're going the same place.
That's where we're going.
I'll let you get there first.
So Jay has Anthem Blue Cross. Anthem told Jay that he has 31 days to add the baby to his insurance. And I called the Social Security Administration office. I called the local one and the national one yesterday as of recording this, so Monday. And they told me that North Carolina is currently behind in processing them and it will take 4 to 6 weeks to get the card. But if I wanted to, I could go into the Social Security office in Raleigh. I could apply for a replacement card, and they'll give me when they pull it up, they'll pull up on the computer screen what his number that has been assigned is, and they can give it to me then. But I need to bring ID for me and ID for the baby. So I'm like, well, I don't have ID. He's a fucking 4 week old.
Right. Like, that's the whole point of the social security card.
But I was like, he's 3 weeks old. I don't have, you know, he doesn't have, we'll bring his immunization records. And I was like, he doesn't get his first shots until he's 2 months old. I'm not going to have immunization records. And right now, technically, they're not going to do any of that because he's going to be a self-pay patient. Like, he doesn't have insurance. So, like, and I've gotten the bills.
Can I just bring him and show him to you?
Yeah, can I just show you? He kind of looks like me.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't you have like a certificate of live birth that they fill out like at the hospital?
No, so that's the birth certificate. So I've got to tomorrow when I, as of recording this, I have to get up, go down to the courthouse, get the birth certificate. And Jay's going to be in Charlotte tomorrow and Thursday, so I've got to, you know, I'm doing this all on my own. So Alex and I are going to go to the courthouse, the registered deeds office. So I'm going to have to get that, and then I'm going to have to turn around and drive to the Social Security office. And I know I'm going to be waiting in there for a long time. So I hope that I can make everybody in the waiting room uncomfortable by pulling out a tit and feeding that baby when I'm there for 3 hours.
As you should. And screw them. They shouldn't be uncomfortable. It's perfectly natural.
Oh, I know. I'm just teasing. But so
also, if it can make the Social Security people like get you through the line faster, then hey.
I hope so. The longest line I've ever been in Raleigh was the Time Warner line when I had to return our cable box when we switched from – or when we moved. Yep. That line was hours. I swear to God.
No, that's literally when I'm just like, nope. Mm-hmm. I'll come back. My time is too valuable. Cannot.
Well, I was there for a while, and then when we returned it the second time, Jay went in to return it because we had the two different places and we got rid of the cable the second time. And they told him that he could just mail it in. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That was an option?
But like, how much does that cost? Because like a cable box is kind of heavy, yeah?
Yes, but it wasn't too bad if I remember correctly. I mean, you know, it was just a box.
Whatever it is, it's probably worth the price of waiting in line for hours.
I think it might have been... Oh, you mean... mailing the cable box. No, I think it was like self-addressed by Time Warner. Mm. You know, one of those where the company sends you the box to send it back in.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, because I would have bitched about how much it cost and made Jay stand.
That's why I'm surprised that you were like into this idea.
Yeah, no, that's totally not me. Oh, speaking of mailing things, I packaged up your Christmas presents tonight.
Oh, hooray!
Aww.
So... those will hopefully, it's on my list tomorrow to mail them out. I'm going to take them in the car with me when I go to the courthouse and then the Social Security office. I make no guarantees that they'll actually get in the mail tomorrow because it's going to depend on how long those things take. But if that goes quickly and I can send them off, I'm just going to go by the post office. If not, I'll do it on Thursday. But yay, go me.
Nice. Yeah, dude, the post office. I didn't realize the post office is literally only open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Yes.
When did it stop being open on a Saturday?
We have it on Saturday, actually, still.
It depends on the location. I think if it's an actual post office, it might be open Saturdays till noon or 2.
But yeah,
because we have one that's inside a gas station that I go to, and they're not open on Saturdays, I don't think.
Right, because ours isn't open on Saturday, and I've got this giant thread-up bag of clothes I want to try and make a little money off of, and it's like, it's just sitting in my apartment, because it's like, the post office isn't open on the weekends when I can go. I leave for work at like 8:30 in the morning, so like, I'm not taking it to work with me to drop it off at the post office around the street, and I'm not taking a day off of work to go to the post office. So, like, the whole thing is just really, really unfortunate. I'm really not happy about it.
I'm sorry. That is so unfortunate.
Hate the post office.
In one of my past jobs, I worked, the location was just, like, so glorious. It was downtown, and it was actually in the federal building, and we shared the building with the post office. So, anything post-related, it was so freaking... convenient because I could just...
I'm a little jealous. I'm not just gonna there. Lie.
Yeah, that
was
awesome.
It was fabulous. Like, I was way more excited about that than I think a normal person should be, but it was really
cool. Especially it's like, it's nice to... It's one of those things that it's a real pain in the ass to seek out. So it's like when it's there and convenient, it just makes all the difference.
And I wasn't even leaving work if I had to like just bop over to the post office.
Well, and it's like, and I feel like for me, it'd be different. Like if I had a car and I could throw the package in the back of the car and run out on my lunch break or, on the way to work. But it's when I take public transportation, I take the subway, like it's crowded in the morning. Yeah. I'm not going to carry a 3-pound giant bag with me. It's just like, it's not feasible.
Yeah.
The worst, man. It's the worst.
Yeah, or you could be like me and just keep things in your car for forever.
But at least you're a step closer. At least it's out of your house. Mine's just sitting there, taking up space. Reminding me, taunting me, reminding me that, you can't drop me off. I mean, you can, but it'd be super inconvenient.
Yeah. But the day that you do, you're going to feel so damn accomplished.
I know. And then they're not going to take anything because it's all going to be out of season. Hold on to it till this time next year.
Okay. Also, speaking of that, wow, for somebody who had nothing to talk about, everything that you're saying is like triggering something that happened to me today or whatever. My sister's birthday is tomorrow, March 7th. And I did not get out to get her a card. But when I was cleaning out everything, when I was nesting for Alex, I found a bunch of blank cards. I found a birthday card that I bought her 2 years ago to send her and never sent her. And nice. I was like, go me. I'm awesome. It's my almost, it's kind of like my birthday.
That is awesome.
So yeah, awesome. I'm sorry. I'm stealing everybody's story.
But you have a card. I actually, that reminds me. We've talked a lot about writing and stuff. And like, I happened upon my old journals and all that. And that was also a period of time where I used to have a, like, my cousin and I were pen pals. And we wrote back and forth to each other for years as kids, basically until the internet became like something that was actually in everyone's house. And then email kind of killed that. And a couple of weeks ago, just out of the blue, I get this letter from her in the mail. And it was just kind of like, oh, I had like this extra envelope and I already had a stamp. And I was just like,
oh, my God.
I know. And she wrote me a letter and I was like, oh my God, I love this. And, you know, like we're connected on Facebook and text message and whatever, but like, I didn't like send her anything and I just wrote back. And so now like we're writing letters to each other again.
Like actual letters with stamps.
Like actual letters with stamps. And for my birthday, she sent me a card. She's super artistic. She sent me this beautiful card that she made. And that's why I was thinking about that when you were talking about birthday cards. Cause I actually like, bought her a birthday card and I need to write her a letter probably tonight and send it out tomorrow. She's like, how long does it take a letter to get there? Her birthday is coming up real soon. And I thought I'd be super early. And now it's like, yeah. Oh, well, she'll get it a couple days late. But that's the thing with letters. Like,
well, I did mail my sister's birthday card from 2 years ago out today. So, and it's
Well, so long as it wasn't dated or had the birthday, like the number birthday that she was turning on it, you're fine. Just mail.
Happy 30th birthday, yeah. Caitlin, 2 years later.
And you can see, like, you kind of cross out the zero and, like, put a two.
That would be kind of awesome.
Like, Sharpie over it.
Well, the best is I also found I needed three cards for March, and I found three cards. I swear to God. I needed one for my sister, Christy. I found the one that I also bought for her 2 years ago. And I wanted to get one for Cliff because his birthday is – you guys don't know Cliff. But oh, Amanda, you know Cliff.
I know Cliff.
You know what? You partnered
him. There's a fantastic picture of Cliff, Julia, and I at the after party of your guys' wedding.
That is very true.
It's pretty epic.
If anybody out there is an old school Jay and Jack listener, Cliff was the hybrid, a.k.a. Criffy Criff. He was like our first child, our firstborn, back when he lived in Raleigh, because he used to like hang out at our house. I love Cliff so much. I miss Cliff every day. If he wanted to move back to Raleigh and live in my basement, I would let him without even hesitation. I'd be like, sure, Cliff. But anyway, it's his birthday on Friday. So I was like, I really want to get him something too. And then I found three cards for the three birthdays that I needed them. Note that Jay's birthday is in March, and I did not mention him.
That's the best thing, though. That is the best thing you can do for yourself, is when you're at Papyrus or whatever, and they have that, like, buy three cards, get one free. Mm-hmm. Even if you're in for one card, buy all four. Get all four and just keep them someplace safe, because you never know. Like, you're inevitably going to be in a pinch at some point, and you're going to need a card.
Yep.
And you've set yourself up.
I get the packs. Like, Walmart has them. Target may or may not have them, but a bunch of different stores will sell just like the packs of generic happy birthday cards. And I'm always a message writer for everything. Like, I never just say, like, happy birthday, see you later. Like, you know, I always include like a sentence or something of my own. So, you know, I feel like that's the personalized part. But I buy the packs, or I'll go to the dollar store and I'll buy like 10 of them at a time. Birthday, sympathy, thank you, thinking of you, all those kinds of cards.
Nice. Yeah, no, I'm super bougie and I do the fancy like $5 Papyrus card. I can't help myself.
I noticed that with the card that you sent me. I was like, this is a very fancy card. And she even drew a fancy drawing on it.
I do like to doodle on the front.
Nice. I like that.
Make it pretty. Yeah.
On that beautiful thick paper.
Exactly. It's like it's worth the money, I think. If it brightens someone's day, I'll eat that $5. It's fine. I actually bought a Papyrus card the other day because I thought it was pretty, and I framed it and put it on my like gallery wall in my living room just because I thought it was pretty. I was like, I'm going to get that.
I like that.
All right.
I'm not even ashamed about it. Looks nice.
There you go.
Good times. Shandy.
Mm. Yes.
We have buried the lead about how you need to be an extra on.
Oh, yeah.
Big Little Lies. Right about that.
So it's funny because when they filmed the first season, I remember seeing in the paper and stuff that they were looking for extras, but I sort of balked at the fact that, you know, they're like paying minimum wage and which, whatever, like, it's just to stand around. So that's
look,
fine.
It was good enough for Michelle Williams.
I don't get it.
The per diem that Michelle Williams got over Marky Mark, $1.5 million.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But it was basically just kind of like, I don't have time to like go and do something. I didn't know what the show was. So I was like, okay, that's great that they're filming something here, but like, I'm not going to go spend 8 hours standing around, you know, for whatever. But this time around, it's like, yeah, I mean, definitely not doing it for the money. The show's great. That's awesome. And it's pretty cool. So they're looking for extras again. And like, I was kind of like, interested and then not, and like, I, you know, I wasn't gonna do it, and then I asked a friend and she was like actually into it, so I think I'm gonna do it.
Yes,
I think you should. It's super fun.
I'm not gonna head down there by myself to stand around for potentially a bunch of hours. I don't really understand how it works though, and I don't know if I have to do anything for like the actual casting part.
It depends.
I would like for them to just look at me and say either yay or nay. Like, I don't need to pretend that I'm an actress for the afternoon because I wouldn't even know how.
Do you just want to sit in the cafe and drink a latte behind Nicole Kidman? Would you?
Well, I think that's what they're looking for. They're not like looking for the actual, like, you know.
No, and chances are, and even that stuff, like those people you can see on camera are cast. Like, you're going to be like sitting outside, like through the window, walking by. Yeah. Like,
and that's fine. Like, that would be really fun to be a part of. But I don't really understand the logistics. It's next weekend, next Saturday, and it's for 6.5 hours. So I'm not sure. Like, that means we have to be there for the 6.5 hours, or I don't know. I guess we'll see how that all works. And then, if that's just the casting, like, does that mean I have to go back? Because that's the other problem, is if they're filming, like, during the day, like, during the week. Like, am I really going to take time off work for that? I don't know. It's cool.
Some people would.
For Big Little Lies, yes.
Awesome, but
I hear it's really fun. I've had a few friends that do, like, that kind of stuff on the regular. And they're long days, but they're fun. Like, if you enjoy
it's fun.
Film or TV, like just being, having a little window into that world, I think is really interesting for a lot of people.
I think it would just be a fun experience to say, hey, I did this. And if you make it into, you know, a scene, even the background, that's just really
cool, it's an awesome show.
Yeah. And I'm sure the craft services is probably so good.
I was going to ask about that.
It's probably so good.
Yeah. You gotta tell us about that.
Okay, so we'll go down on Saturday and see what it's all about, and then they'll probably tell us thanks, no thanks, and then whatever, I will have tried, and then I won't have to worry about taking time off from work.
Exactly, win-win.
There you go. We are watching The West Wing, and we are on the season finale for season 2.
What is that?
It's which called Two is Cathedrals.
Oh no! Oh, so good. One of my all-time favorite episodes.
That is what I believe I remember Boston saying, too. I didn't know what it was, but I remembered. I think it was season 2 or 3 that he said that it was, like, a really great final episode.
Season 3 is also really equally good and equally emotionally.
Okay. Based on what happened on the second-to-last episode, 18th and Potomac,
that's also a very good episode.
Yes. Oh, the second season is excellent. I can definitely see that I'm probably going to cry. So, I don't know. I feel like it's going to really be a heavy hitter.
Yeah. It's pretty intense, but it's just also really, it's beautiful. Like, it's really well written. I mean, most of the episodes are well written, but
yeah,
it's just, it's transcendent.
Yeah. Oh, so there's been a handful of, what made me think of this was Shandy talking about being an extra. There's been a handful of people in first two seasons that have been famous later on. Like Jane Lynch is a reporter in the news, in the press room or whatever it is. Not the press room, the, you know what I mean? The room where CJ gives her briefings, the press.
Yeah, it's room. The press. That's a, it's press room.
And Eric Stone Street, is that his name? Cam from Modern Family.
Yeah.
Is an aide in the lawyer Babish's office.
Oh, yeah. Oliver Babish.
Yeah. And he came in and had no lines in like one scene, the first scene that he was in. And it was just a real quick thing. And Jay was like, we have to go back. I think that's Cam from Modern Family. And it was. Uh-huh. And then he had like a line. He's like, you know, here, sir, in the second scene. And we're like, oh, my God. He got a line. I don't know. We enjoyed it. We were dorks.
Yeah. Well, that happens a lot. And like even a lot of the guest stars are people that you recognize from other things. It's just like they got all the best actors working.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, again, why I will not get cast for him to be an extra.
But no, you don't have to be an actor to be an extra.
Super, super background. Yeah. I have to bring a 3x5 photo of my face.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
Just print out a Facebook.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
I don't have a printer.
Just send it to Walgreens. I send everything to Walgreens. It's like 10 cents an a print.
That is okay. I can do that.
I just did that tonight. I'm finally filling the picture frames of Alex's pictures. I sent 8 pictures to Walgreens and it was only $2.08.
Oh, nice. So, but you mean you sent them? Is it like an app? Do you email them personally?
No, I have an app on my phone.
Oh, that's
pretty cool. There's also like a corresponding website.
There is. I did the website, but I need, so my prenatals, it's been 2 months since that whole debacle when we were talking about the prenatal thing. So I needed to refill them, and I refilled that at the same time that I ordered my pictures. I was like, I love the internet and smartphones.
It does make life easy.
Yeah. This has been a very exciting conversation. I feel like there was something that I wanted to ask Amanda about, but now I can't remember. Okay, very good. Did you guys have good weekends?
I didn't even know how to prompt you because I was like, what did you want to ask me?
I don't know. I feel like I saw something on your Insta or Facebook. Look, all right, I don't know, okay?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatevs. All right, does anybody have anything else since clearly I am losing my mind?
I discovered a new podcast.
Ooh, go ahead.
I love so, so much. It's called Heroin Addicts, and I discovered them on Twitter because I follow Erica Lust, who is an ethical porn filmmaker, who follows me on Twitter, incidentally. Don't know if I've mentioned it on this podcast before. I think I have, but
twice.
It was a follow back, but whatever. Anyway, so I follow her, and she had like retweeted their episode about her. And I started listening, and it's these 4 British girls. And I thought they were in their later 20s, but some of them are in their like mid 20s. So anyway, 4 like mid 20-ish some things. And basically, for each episode, they choose a female heroine, either fictional or real. So like they did an episode dedicated to Erica Lust, who's obviously real. They did another one dedicated to Hermione Granger. They've done, shoot, now I'm like trying to remember, but a bunch of other ones. So I've just been like binging, and it's super fun to listen to. I also just really love their accents, and that helps. But it's just like the idea that we've talked about a lot on the podcast of concentrating more on like female driven media, and you know, just like being more supporting like women creatives. And so I listened to like 3 episodes on my long run on Sunday. And then I listened to a couple of more like just in the evening. And I've been kind of listening to a little bit every day since. I'm kind of like dreading when I will have caught up with everything. But anyway, it's really good. So I would recommend giving them a listen. Their very first episode was all about Buffy. And we had talked about back in the day, we had talked about how I think, wait, was Colleen, have you watched Buffy?
I have never seen Buffy, but I know that I'm going to love it.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. But listening to their episode about it, like, also really made me want to watch it that much more. So maybe next. I wonder if it's on Netflix.
It used to be, but I feel like a lot of things disappeared off of Netflix. So it might.
Okay.
Hopefully it still is. I feel like it came onto Netflix fairly recently. So I would imagine we're probably good.
I will look. But that was my main discovery over the weekend. So I really recommend it. The other thing that I just took a note of to follow up.
Oh, boy. I will link to the heroin. Wait, what is it called? I'll link that in the show notes.
Heroin Addicts with an E.
I remember
their intro song is really fun.
Okay, I will link that in the show notes. So press on information or whatever you do. I'll also link it in the Facebook group too. That's janejack.com/group/Facebook. No. Yeah. Right? janejack.com/group/Facebook group.
Facebook.com/janejack.
That's it.
Facebook.com/janejack.
No, facebook.com/group/janejack group. Whatever. Okay. Just search for it on Facebook if you're not there. I'm the worst tonight.
Okay, so this other thing that I put in my notes, because this is how important it is. It just says, guys getting erections together. So,
oh no. What about?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh no.
So what about a strip club? Boom. Yeah,
well, they go off and do their own thing.
Strip club.
Okay, so no, like, I get that it's not at all the same thing as what I was saying earlier, which I still maintain what I said earlier. But this thought occurred to me, like, right, a bunch of dudes, like, go to a strip club together, and, like, strippers are, like, grinding on their laps. Don't they kind of get boners?
Sure, but it doesn't mean that they're all jerking it off together.
So, and I'm not saying that they're jerking it together, but I'm still saying they're getting erections as a group together. Also, just interesting. I fully admit it's not the same thing, but I'm just saying, like, it's in the same vein.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay. I'll buy it.
We'll go with that. I'd love to hear from some of our men out there, especially some of the gentlemen listening that we've not frequently heard from.
Right. These things that we like do as a culture that when you stop to think about it, and I'm like, I'm not knocking strip clubs. I'm just saying, like, that's kind of weird, right? It's just kind of weird.
The concept is a little like,
just like you're going to have a full on, like, hard on, or even just like a half on, like, right next to, like, your friend who's sitting there also getting turned on. It's weird. I mean, it's cool. But then, like, sort of, like, straight culture is usually super, like, a little bit homophobic, too. So it's like, okay, but you, like, you bros are totally having the shared erotic experience, so.
Right. And I think that's the thing that's always kind of, and this is going to sound so in line, kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. But, you know, because that is inherently weird. And it so goes against how we normally think of heterosexual male sexuality.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Okay. Do you have any other notes, Shandy? This is what happens when I don't take notes, but Shandy does for the week. Episode 77, everybody. good times. All right. Do we want to get to feedback? Or Amanda, do you have things to talk about?
I saw Black Panther this weekend.
And?
Oh my God, how was it?
It was good. I went by myself.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, I kind of had a rough weekend, and I needed a little time away with my thoughts and my feels.
Are you okay? I saw your mom's post.
Yeah. So I went to go see Black Panther. It was also my artist date for the week, which I never do because I am not very good at taking time for myself.
Fair.
So I went to BAM, Brooklyn Music Academy, and it's like this big old theater. So it felt very much like going to see a movie in the 40s where it's just the whole theater is for one movie. And it's beautiful and it's ornate and people were like cheering and clapping. And I don't know if it's because the theater itself felt really theatrical that people felt more inclined to like cheer a little louder or laugh a little louder. Or just because it was a really freaking good movie.
It's a really freaking good movie. It's a
really freaking good movie. Awesome. But it was, yeah, it was just wonderful. I had my popcorn and
nice.
It was
just, yeah. Man, I still haven't seen it. It's on my list. Hopefully this week, I guess. But on Friday, I did go to see The Shape of Water.
And how was it?
What did you think of it?
I really liked it. And like, I see... I don't know. I haven't read anything about it, so I don't know what the criticisms are. It seems like, I mean, obviously it like won awards and stuff, but it seems like some people like really love to hate it or just hate it. I don't know. But I think that, you know, the villain in the movie is very just like one-sided, I guess. Yeah. And like, and kind of almost like a caricature of a villain, but I just really liked the story. I thought it was a little bit different. When I saw the preview for it, I was not interested whatsoever. Cause I was like, why do we have this woman? Like, why does she have to be mute? Like, seriously, cause women are always told to like, shut up. So we're going to have this woman who doesn't even have like a freaking speaking role. But obviously in the context of the movie, then I understood why. And I thought that was really interesting. And liked how she used it as a strength. But I also just thought it was really beautiful, like visually beautiful. And so I really liked it.
Good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a beautiful world. I liked it, but I don't think I liked it like best picture enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Like I think I like Pan's Labyrinth a little better. So like maybe that was sort of a like, yeah. Well, we didn't give you the award for that movie, but this movie was good, so here you go, sir.
I would say that I did like Pan's Labyrinth is just like damn, you know. Yeah, but
I have not seen that either. But we are gonna watch Lady Bird this weekend.
Good.
I still haven't seen that one yet.
We had company last weekend, and you know it's just been a little crazy. But we finally don't have anything, so we're gonna do that this weekend. A reviewer, a blog post, or something that I read called it Grinding Nemo. Is that a fair?
I mean, it's fair in the fact that it's technically accurate.
Because there's fish fucking.
But I think it takes away from the overall point that the film is trying to make.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was a blog post that was not for it winning Best Picture. So. Right.
It just sounds like a clickbait title, to be honest.
Yeah, we know something at work, though, because I thought it was... I was like, huh, okay.
Yeah. And maybe that's why, like, I'm never up to date on movies, so it's kind of surprising that I've even seen this one.
You've seen three.
I'm also never, like, I never really watch the award shows and don't really know. I'm, like, somewhat aware sometimes of results just, like, via Twitter or whatever. But that almost, like, takes away from it in a way because, like, I just went to this movie and, like, I liked the movie. And I guess, like, when you're thinking, okay, but it won, like, Best Picture, like, is it worth Best Picture? If you can take all of that out of the conversation, then... You know, like it makes it like just a movie that you either liked or didn't like.
Yeah. If that I like sense. That. No, that totally makes sense. I really like that way of thinking about it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That it's oftentimes we judge films that we know are nominated for award season films differently. Uh-huh. And you go into being like, well, this is nominated for an award, so I have to like it. Mm-hmm. Or I have to like not like it for this reason instead of just going to see a movie.
Right. Yeah. It has to like pass this certain bar that like, cause then it's really then kind of like more about like the reader response or like the, you know, the response that other people are having to it and not just like the movie itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to see that Three Billboards movie.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
But
oh my God, Shandy, have you seen every fucking Best Picture nominee?
Well, what were the other nominees?
I don't know, but clearly.
Well, okay, so it was Three Billboards. It was Shape of Water. It was Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. Call Me by Your Name. Get Out.
I've seen Get Out. I saw Get Out.
Oh, I have not.
I saw that the night before I found out I was pregnant, and I was really drunk, too, which was great, but not.
Yeah, what, Dunkirk?
I have not seen that yet.
Oh, Dunkirk was so good. But it's like, it's one that I think, it's a great movie, and you should watch it. But I think it will lose some of the epic experience not seeing it in a theater.
That makes sense. Yeah,
that's why, like, it cleaned up in all the sound design categories because of how they shot it and how they designed the sound. Uh-huh. They designed it in a very specific way for very specific theaters. So a lot of theaters across the country, people were saying, "Oh, it's too loud! It's too loud!" because the theater wasn't set up properly for the way they did the sound. So when you're in really a theater that can handle it.
Yeah.
And handle the aspect ratio that they shot at. Like, it's very immersive. And it is the best film that Christopher Nolan has ever made. It is the most emotionally gripping Christopher Nolan film I've ever seen.
Wow.
It was so good.
So, Amanda, how many of the best picture... Okay, I've seen, like, none of them. You guys have clearly seen a lot.
I saw maybe half. But there's 10. So I feel like...
Yeah, that's kind of a lot.
Best picture.
That kind of takes away from the "it's an honor just to be nominated."
Right. No.
We have this really great little, like, independent theater a couple blocks from my house. That's where I saw all these movies. So, small town, but we have, like, there's a couple of, like, normal movie theaters. And then there's that one that shows the more interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So, here are the top 10 for Best Picture. It was Shape of Water, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, Three Billboards, Get Out, The Post, Call Me by Your Name, and Lady Bird.
I want to see The Post.
I feel like it's a snooze fest.
I know, but I like those kinds of movies.
Fair.
I also like the ones with big booms.
Weird. You're very varied in your...
I am. I'm like one extreme or the other extreme. Don't give me artsy. Yeah, give me some kind of scandal, or give me just things blowing up.
Nice. Oh, and I did see The Darkest Hour, which has very little female representation in it. So I would suggest going to see some of the other movies on the list first. Yeah. But
I wanted to see that because I'm fascinated by that time period in general. Mm. But clearly, real life things have made me kind of put it not first on my list. But who am I kidding? It's gonna be an accomplishment just to see fucking Lady Bird this weekend. So, but
we rented it. We watched it in the Apple TV.
Yeah, we're probably just iTunes it up.
Yeah, but it actually takes place during the same time as Dunkirk.
Interesting. Okay.
So you're almost like seeing the reverse of what went down. Because I guess I missed out in watching Dunkirk how instrumental Winston Churchill was in putting that into action and, like, getting all those boys off the beach.
Okay, for, like, a split second, I thought you were saying that Lady Bird was...
Yeah, no, it's totally the same time. I don't know if you know that. Greta Gerwig is 100 years old. It's like a Doctor Who thing, and they're just, like, caught in, like, this time loop.
It's okay. I thought the same thing.
But the costume seemed really modern.
No.
I thought she meant that, too.
That's just Sacramento. That's just, you know, they're progressive in their fashion sense.
Yeah, always ahead of the curve. There.
Good times. All right, let's move on to some feedback, if you guys are cool with that.
Sure.
Sounds good.
Okay. Unless, did we have other movies that we want to talk about, which is totally cool, too?
I can't believe I've seen more of these movies than Colleen.
Okay.
So I'm just going to gloat a little bit about that.
Before we move on, out of the ones that you both have seen, which ones would you guys have given Best Picture to?
Call Me by Your Name.
Get Out.
I haven't seen Get Out. Okay, I need to see it.
Shandy, we own Get Out, which I will maybe open your box and stick the movie in and send it to you. You can bring it back in May. I don't know.
Wait, but is it a DVD?
Yes, or a Blu-ray. Here's or something. The thing.
I definitely don't have a Blu-ray player. I do have a DVD player, but I can't figure out how to hook it up.
Okay. Mm. Well, I was going to say. Really don't
use it anymore.
How about HBO? Do you have HBO?
Yes.
Oh, it's on HBO. Watch on HBO.
But okay. It's going to, apparently, I think it's disappearing from HBO. Oh. I think it was on the list of leaving HBO soon. Okay, so get I'll on that, girl.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I don't really like horror movies. I like less and less. And I've heard that it's much more than that.
Oh, it's correct? So much more than that. Because I don't like horror movies either. I'm a scaredy cat.
There's about hard. Yeah. It's like.
It's a horror movie, but it's a smart horror movie. It's not like a big boobs running up the stairs the wrong way from the from the exit horror movie, if that makes sense.
Yes.
It's like a commentary horror movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But okay, facey back. let's bring it. Woo! All right, Matt says it seems appropriate if guys only got to be women for 1.56 hours.
I missed that comment. That's amazing.
It was an amazing comment. Matt was on fire again.
Oh my God, Matt! I'm so sorry I missed it. I'm just reading it now. That's so funny,
right? And he added to reflect this something 8% mentioned in the show, just in case anyone was.
Yeah.
So, in case you missed it last week, what we're doing for the month of March for the Patreon is we are offering a special deal for new patrons to join at 78% of the cost of what it would be to join up like regularly in honor of women making 78% to the dollar salary wise than men do. So I believe the cost for the it's for the $5 and $15 level, and it's you can keep with that level. I'm sorry, you can keep with that Patreon, amount moving forward, but if you still want the benefits in April beyond, then you do have to edit your pledge to move it up. So that would be $3.90 for the $5 level and $11.70 for the $15 level. So check that out, patreon.com/JaneJack. You can go to janejack.com and click on the Become a Patron link up there. So look at that. I inserted that in the middle of the show. And Shandy, I really missed the opportunity to make a really good I'm going to stick Get Out in your box joke.
I feel like I laughed about that. No?
No? I feel like I didn't quite make it clear. I'm tired.
Well, I was also like, what box? Does she have like a special box at your house?
I do have a special box.
No, the box that I'm mailing for you guys with your Christmas presents.
Ah, okay. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
I wasn't certain what box you were referring
to. Those boxes, your Christmas box.
There are so many potentials.
I'm going to put Get Out in her Christmas box, in her box.
Shouldn't that be vice versa? Get out! Get out of my box!
Get out! Yes, thank you. I knew it was there.
No, that's great.
Matt says, I think all of my feedback from here on out should be called Matt-splaining.
Yep. So let it be written, so let it be done.
Yes. JP says, those sound like some great questions, because he asked the questions from last week. And then to follow up on the lost items discussion that we had last week, which I really want to get more people to tell those stories, because I know they talk about them on Mysterious Universe from time to time, but we also got some good feedback about it. I got a couple of texts regarding that discussion as well, just that it was really interesting. And I think there was something on Facebook too that said that it was a good story. Maybe we'll get to that. I'm pretty sure I had read that on one of the threads. But, it's about what I'm about to read.
Great. I'm getting to it sooner than I thought. Wonderful.
Yeah, I kind of want to make this happen, this conversation. So if anybody has this, this could be this March's new virginity talk. That was a year ago that we were hearing first-time stories.
Oh,
no, that was the best. Those are my favorite bit of feedback that we've ever done, that like 2 months that we were doing that.
I would still welcome any of those.
Please, yes. If you have a losing your virginity story, share those. So Ronit Rose says, love the conversation about losing and finding things in odd places. I've lost this ring 3 times, and she put a picture in the group. And she says she no longer wears it. And as for the other question, what'd you do if you would spend how would you spend time as a man? She would do both, which means she would come a lot. Matt says,
speaking of which,
yeah. Matt says there's nothing coming out and these walls are soundproof, right? There's a third one I have, but it may be a bit too wrong, and I believe those were that's what she said jokes. Mm-hmm. Bring it. I'm sure I probably thought it when I said it, if I was the one that said it, at least. Lindsay said, thank you for sharing your birthing story, Colleen. Thank you for listening. I was kind of worried that nobody would give a shit about it, to be honest.
It's a miracle of life.
I know. I did cut a bunch out, too. Remember I said I was going to aim to cut 7 minutes of it out? I think I got eight. I think I got about 5 or 6, so I was close. John says, Colleen, have you changed the wake word for your Amazon Echo? I think Alexa might wake when someone is saying Alex. I have not had to yet, which is odd because, you know, I'm in the same room as Alexa frequently and saying Alex. So, no, she's been real good. I don't know. It's going to happen at some point.
Well, she also doesn't always respond to you when you say Alexa.
Yes,
so.
That is very true.
It might just be her.
Zach successfully spoke to Alexa today while I was showering, and he ran into the bathroom to tell me that Alexa listened to him, and he was so excited. And I was like, oh, good job. You're finally speaking like a real person. What the fuck? Jay, are you down here?
Alexa's like,
no, I think Alexa's Alexa, pause. Okay, something is happening in my other room right now. Did you guys hear that?
I mean, yeah. I can hear noise.
Yes, the TV or no, Alexa is blasting loudly out of nowhere. That is really, really weird. Let me go pause that. Hold on. All right, I'm back, and my shit got creepy. Whoever turned my TV on, it was turned off by the time I got out there. Don't know. Anyway, thank you, John, for cursing me. I think it was your feedback that did that. Amy said, given family experience and professions, would you feel comfortable talking about the recent uptick in student-led walkouts? This has been a hot topic of discussion for my local groups. Many people in my town are pointing to many shooters being outcasts. This article has been mentioned as a walkout alternative, although their efforts are standing up to bullying and making all feel welcome. My town's superintendent is only allowing students to walk out to honor the victims, not to protest gun control laws. So I don't have the thing in front of me, but I do know that according to what the ACLU has put out recently, is you cannot get in trouble for walking out. Like, I don't think you can get suspended or anything for that. So,
yeah,
I will try to find the source for that. But anyway, in the meantime, if you guys have any opinions on student walkouts, and I believe she must be talking about, you know, walkouts to protest gun violence, since nobody else is doing anything in this country.
Right. I think it's amazing. I think it's so great. And I get the whole argument that, you know, bullying is a big problem and making sure these kids don't lose their way. And yes, that is noble, but I don't understand the argument of why those things have to be mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And why, because you are standing up and asking for gun control, that you're not also in support of mental health reform as well.
Yeah, you can be. That's the thing is, I feel like some of the political groups are trying to make it sound like you can't care about mental health and gun control. You can care about both. But also, you can't make it a mental health thing and then want to take health care away from everybody or make it really hard to seek mental health care.
Exactly. So. You can't say mental health is a problem, but then claim that health care is a privilege, not a right. But having a gun is a right. Like, that logic doesn't ring true for me.
And based on some comments that my beliefs that I've heard from family members who believe that it's like antidepressants or something changing people, that's also bullshit. So shut the fuck up, Fox News.
Yeah, I have to say, I think it's pretty terrible that Amy's town's superintendent is only allowing students to walk out to honor victims and not protest the very thing that killed all of those victims. I think the bullying thing, like just like you guys both said, it's something that you can work concurrently. But if you've also focused too much on just that, you're a little bit blaming victims and survivors, essentially saying that it's their fault that this happened because they weren't nice enough to the bully or the person being bullied.
Yeah.
And basically, we should work on that, but also take away all of the fucking guns.
Or just the AR-15. Like, let's just start there. That's a great place to start.
No one needs
to own one of those guns. Like, you don't.
I agree with you. Every time this happens, it sort of like pushes me further down the line of like, no, we actually should take away everyone's guns. We should pull in Australia. We should get rid of all of them because we don't need them. And we say that we're a civilized society, so there's really no place for them in our society. Sorry, not sorry. The end. You can go find yourself a different toy that doesn't have the capacity to take away life.
Right. Well, and it's like, and I love, I posted an article a couple weeks ago at this point where it was a former person in the military. And saying, like, yeah, like, I get why people enjoy AR-15s. Like, they are a fun gun to shoot. They're easy to shoot.
The editorial that it was titled, Fuck You, I Like My Guns or something?
Yes.
Excellent.
It's an excellent read if you have not. And I think this is where I got this. But if I did not get this from this article, I'm sorry. And I will correct myself in the show notes. Where the author talks about how when you are on active duty and you are at the base, you check your gun in because there are military police that are the only people armed on base to protect you. And that system works because they, you know, the active duty military do feel safe not having their guns on base because the police are there to protect them, and that system works fine for them. That they come back in from whatever drill or maneuver they were doing, their guns get locked up, and they go about their merry way. It's like, what? Why can't we have this in civilian society? Why does a good guy with a gun have to exist? Mm-hmm. I can't comprehend that logic.
Well, also, I think the logic has showed us that sometimes the good guys have guns, and it doesn't work because, well, it didn't work.
And it makes the situation more confusing when the cops or
don't know who's good and who's bad shooting.
Up and they're like, who is the shooter? Like, who's the good guy and who's the bad guy? I can't tell because you both have guns.
Well, and, you know, don't even get me started on the Army of Teachers thing, because you want to talk about fucking mental health. How about somebody that has signed up to teach children and then is being asked to fucking shoot children who have guns? And also, then what happens? You know, you don't take good care enough of the actual veterans who have signed up to kill people.
Also, like, not for nothing.
You're not going to take good enough care of these teachers that are going to have to now. Well, they're not going to have to, but you know that you're asking hypothetically to.
But do you know how expensive that would be to arm every teacher that wants to be? You know, people that are making this argument don't even think that we should be paying taxes for the public school system. Like, they don't even want to.
I think make most sure of those teachers
have pencils and textbooks and things that they have to buy for their classroom out of their own money when they are already so poorly undercompensated.
Yeah, I feel like those teachers are just. They would just ask for $200 to supply their classroom with Kleenex for the year. So.
Right. Just, you know, a couple extra erasers and. Like some Sharpies.
Exactly.
I mean, I just think that, like, the whole the whole gun obsession, just like the more that I think about it and the more that I tried to figure it out, because when you're in like sort of an American bubble, especially if you come from a place that has a big gun culture in America, like in a sub bubble, I think you can forget that the entire rest of the world is looking at us and laughing because they're like, what the fuck? Like literally, what in the fuck are you guys thinking?
Oh, I don't know. I saw Illyrio's post today telling America to go fuck themselves. So he's from Canada.
It's helpful. I think it's helpful to have more perspective and to sort of just be cognizant when everyone else thinks that you're crazy. I think usually that's the time to, like, you know, I don't know, reflect, do some self-reflection. But I really think that what's going on here in the US is like a need to overcompensate. You know, it's like the same reason why the dude's going to get the huge giant truck. And I think it's really tied to toxic masculinity and this sense of like, I need to be self-sufficient. I need to protect my woman. I need to do this. And my rights, my rights, my rights, my right to a deadly weapon is more important than your right to life. Like,
what
it's
about my
all
right to send my fucking sons to school and not be worried that they're going to get shot at? Like, their father has been shot at in a school shooting. And to get back to the topic of bullying, like, if I won't go into the one that Jay was in, but, you know, if you're proficient with Google, you could probably Google, you know, shooting at a San Diego public high school and find it pretty easily. But that student shot up the school because he felt that he was bullied. And I could tell you right now that somebody that has seen somebody shoot a gun at his classmates does not feel that bullying is a very good excuse to use for somebody that makes a decision to take a gun and kill people.
Right.
Right.
Well, there's plenty of kids that do get bullied that don't feel that is the proper form of retaliation.
Right.
So, like, yes. That's a very overarching generalization.
That's what he's going for.
I think it is very interesting that the right wing has sort of jumped on this bullying thing when, like, really they have propagated. I mean, whatever.
Actually really interesting that Fox News is willing to turn on Donald Trump for that.
But
we got our answer here.
The thing is, like, again, just like you were saying, Amanda, we can work on them both at the same time. So, like, bullying is a real thing. So let's work on that. But let's also not skim over the fact that the other, like, super important common denominator in a lot of these shooters is these sort of, like, entitled male babies that have a sense of entitlement to things, and then when they don't get those things, they go nuts. It's like the guy in Santa Barbara who, like, targeted all of those sorority sisters because none of them wanted to date him. It's that kind of mentality, and that's where I think it all comes back and ties in with, again, like, overcompensation and just a real crisis in masculinity in our country that we are not dealing with very well. And, like, that's why, like, yay feminism, we should all be feminists because it's good for men and women. Clearly, like, the patriarchal system is not working for us.
Yeah. Well, did you, I know we kind of talked about it, but, did everyone here read the Michael Ian Black, New York Times op-ed piece about toxic masculinity?
I did, and I also read the I Was Almost a School Shooter blog post too.
And I haven't heard of that one.
I sent that to you. I told you guys it was a super heavy read.
I forgot to go back to it.
So why don't we make that our homework for next week, because I'm sure we're going to continue this, because I think that there's a lot that can be said about the topic of toxic masculinity based just on those two perspectives. Because I have mixed feelings about the Michael Ian Black thing. I know you do too.
Same. Yeah, same.
I have a lot of feels about the other one as well. I will resend you the link. I'll make a note right now.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea.
Okay. All right. So we'll revisit this topic again next week. Shandy, do you want to leave us with anything that's food for thought for feedback for next week?
About this topic?
Yeah, I don't want to cut anybody off. But
I would like for everyone, especially people who are like gun enthusiasts or like second right supporters or whatever, Second Amendment. I would just like some real arguments on why it would be so bad if we took away guns. Like, we don't let people go around with, like, you know, bombs and other weapons. Like, why would it be so bad if we really did just kind of throw out the Second Amendment and start over and get rid of guns? Like, what would that take away in your life? Like,
throwing out the Second Amendment. I feel like you can drive a car, you can do all these things. We have regulations on them once they become a public safety issue. Why can't you just regulate something that's a public safety issue? I don't have problems with people owning a shotgun to go hunt a deer or something. I really don't. I don't have a problem with, you know, a woman carrying concealed because she's got, you know, a reason to do so. I mean, I have mixed feelings on that. We talked about that in the past because my sister was trying to get her license for that. I do have mixed feelings on that. So when I say I don't have a problem, that's actually a lie. But, like, I understand that there's certain situations. I don't have a problem with somebody going hunting. I don't have a problem with the middle of nowhere self-defense if it's locked in a cabinet. But I don't feel like you should be able to have a military assault rifle for fun. Like, what go buy a fucking car and, like, show off your dick that way. Like, show everybody your Beamer or whatever it is.
I totally agree that we should start with this, like, comments and stuff. I just think that it's not enough. Like, I get really sick and tired every time we have this conversation where people have to be like, oh, but, like, I support the Second Amendment, but it's like, well, no, actually, like, don't support. Why is it like
the Second Amendment says you have sacred? The right to bear arms. So the Second Amendment says that you have a right to a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's it.
That's all one sentence, to be clear, with very oddly placed commas.
Grammar matters, people. Grammar does matter.
And that's why we are grappling with this one sentence 300 years later.
But, like, what
the country's not that old. How old are we? I don't know.
1776. We declared our independence.
Okay, minus carry the two. Okay, whatever.
Why do we have to be? I'm trying to think of a better expression because the thing that's coming to mind is, why do we have to be slaves to the Second Amendment? But you know what I mean.
But you know, like, we're why not do we slaves. Like, that's the thing.
That's why it's maybe not the best choice of words, but you know what I mean? Like, sort of, like, argue about what the wording actually means, but, like, who cares about the wording? It's stupid. It doesn't apply to today. It very clearly applied to a different context that is no longer the case in modern society. So who cares? As far as I'm concerned, who cares what they intended then? What we should focus on is what we need now.
Right. Unfortunately, not everyone agrees with that.
Can I give you the what I'm thinking? Can I tell you what I feel is the simplest, honest answer?
Sure.
Money. The NRA is.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's really all it is. If you didn't have that propaganda coming from them and from certain news organizations and whatever, that, you know, screaming they want to take your guns away, like, we can never have a conversation if people are going to go in there, like, you know, all bullish about it, and you have a lobbyist organization that is, you know.
And that's why I ask you, to the people who can't give up their guns or are tied to this myth of the Second Amendment and this myth of, like, guns being this all important thing to protect your freedom in America, I would ask for you to consider the fact that, yeah, it's all about money. So, like, basically the wool has been pulled over your eyes. Like, you are believing something that something is important to you and vital to your freedom in America, when really it's just the NRA that's, you know, like, making a lot of money off of this. Well,
part of me worries that, well, yes, I agree with you ladies, and I do agree that if the NRA did not have the power and money and influence that it had, this wouldn't be as big of a problem. I am still concerned that it would still be some of a problem.
Sure, but you know,
because I think there are a lot of people that would believe it, brainwashed or not.
But you know something, the difference is there's a lot of people that are for guns in this country, but there are also a lot more people than not that we're seeing now statistically. And, you know, I'll pull up, if we really want to get into statistics, I could pull it up for next week. But there's a lot more people that actually believe in guns, but believe in gun control. And we're
right.
And that is, I think, where the difference is. You'd still have your people that are like, you know, I got to have my AR-15 or die. Like, you know, that's your hill that you want to die on or whatever. But I think that there wouldn't be so much of a controversy because you would still have the people who are more rationally minded that would speak louder than what the NRA is saying, for example, that, you know, say, no, I want to have my gun to protect my house, but I don't think that I needed to buy it at 18 years old. Or, you know, my neighbor who has a mental illness perhaps doesn't need to own one. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I think that the difference would be the public, we're hearing the more hysterical people that are opposing to it, because you don't have, you know, I don't think that we would have the hysteria amongst the gun owners that we do without a big organization like that.
Yes. And I think just the point I'm trying to make is I hope we are right in that thinking, because we also thought there wasn't a snowball's chance in hell that Trump would be elected president. Yet somehow here we are.
Yeah,
I think
true.
Often, because we live in our little liberal bubbles, that I worry that we often caricature a part of the American population that we don't necessarily come in contact with.
See, I'm not even caricaturing it. I genuinely think that you have the big money that's telling the certain people, and you're hearing that over you're hearing reasonable people. And we're seeing polls of people that are gun owners that are still saying they're in favor for gun control. So
right. And I think that is an unarguable.
Yeah, but you're not hearing about
that. That the majority of the country agrees in some form of gun regulation.
Yes. And I'm moving my hands a lot because I've got 27 more calories to hit my move goal for the day. So I don't want you to think that I'm like so intense in this. No, that's why I'm doing that.
That's okay. I didn't even notice.
Okay.
That's normally how I talk. So I wasn't even a thing.
Okay. I realized that I was looking up and moving my hands a lot, and it was because I have been keeping an eye on my red on my Apple Watch. Nice. Sorry.
It's all good.
But so this is where I would argue that, like, so yes, we need to work together to pass laws that reform like the extra crazy shit.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, through school walkouts and things like that is going to potentially help to gain momentum to do these sort of things. So yes, you know, great job on all those high school kids, and that is amazing. But then I would also appeal to the more moderate gun owners and say that it is on them also to be like, you know what? Okay. My right. I can't even believe it's a right, but my right to my toy that I have for self-protection, even though statistically, it's not going to work out in my favor if there's a home invasion, whatever, or my right to my toy that I want to go to the shooting range with because it's fun, or whatever reason it is, my right to my toy that I need in case the government like comes at me, which like, and I've heard that argument and I'm just kind of like, that's not a good idea. But any of those reasons, whatever the reason.
You remind me of Zach, who says that. He's like, I have a good idea. That's a good idea. That's not, or Zachary wants to use the potty. That's not a good idea. This is literal things that happen in my house.
Yeah, not dissimilar logic to what we're discussing right now.
The logic of a three and a half year old.
Yep.
I really can't think of a good idea. Sure, if you want to hunt, okay, like maybe we can like work that in somewhere, but like, it's a very small minority of people that actually go out and hunt. So if you do want to like kill your meat the meat that you're going to eat that way, then sure, like maybe we can work with you there. But I really can't think of a single other valid reason that trumps like everyone else's right to life. And so I think it's on the moderate gun owners to be like, you know what? Okay, I will turn in my gun. It should be destroyed. We should stop buying these, and we should take them out of circulation in this country that is just awash in guns. It's no wonder we have so many.
Well, then we have to get into what
take your cars away. We didn't take your cars away when they were killing lots of people. We regulated them and made them safer, so now more of us can drive cars and less of us
cars
die.
Have arguably more much more utility.
It's more like realistic.
It night and day.
It's more realistic to think about regulation versus
again. Let's do this at the same time. It's not going to be an overnight thing. Yeah. So let's like pass laws for the like absolute nuttiness, but then like work on changing our mentality. And I think that we can only do that again when the moderate people are like, oh yeah, it's actually not worth it for all of these people to be dying every year of gun related deaths. That's not worth it for me to like own this toy.
Yeah. Okay. So real quick, before we get into feedback, more feedback, as far as the students walking out thing, I didn't really talk too much about that. I did find that ACLU post that I was talking about earlier. And it said the students' rights in a walkout. So the gist is your school can punish you for missing class, just like they always can, but it can't punish you more harshly for protesting than if you were missing class for another reason. So if you walked out to protest gun control, they can only give you what, like detention or whatever it is for missing the class. They can't, you know, automatically suspend you or something. They would have to honor the same punishment as if you missed a class, you know, regardless of the reason.
Or you get your lawyer involved, or you call the ACLU.
Yeah, yeah.
Your local ACLU chapter.
Exactly. So we'll pick this up again, I'm sure, next week if we have enough feedback for it. let's start a discussion. This, virginity, and lost things. Let's do it. Lost things,
hopefully
being
not
lost
all
objects, not lost
all
virginity.
In the same story.
Yes, please.
Hopefully those are three separate stories you have, not one story that encompasses all of them.
Exactly. Okay. Because that could be real.
Where did you lose your virginity that you found it later?
Yeah. So we'll.
You shouldn't have worn it swimming.
I got that. That was a Vagina Monologues reference, and I got it.
It was.
Didn't I do that one?
You did.
I did do that one.
You did.
That's my favorite one. I love that one. So, speaking of vaginas, butter shemales.
Butter shemales. Her voicemails we'll get to later.
Her voicemails we'll get to later, yes. We got a bunch, so we're going to break them up because we went a little long on the gun control thing.
Yeah, we just had too many feels to express.
And we didn't even really get into it.
No.
I cut us off early.
He's so good. Okay, so our first email is from Lindsay. Well, it's two emails that we're going to read as one long email. Called The Never-Ending Story and Lost Keys, Part 1. The Never-Ending Story is my favorite childhood movie, with Fern Gully and the Black Stallion a close second and third. Nice, solid list. The Never-Ending Story was recently played in our local movie theater for a special one-night showing. My mom, husband, and I went to the show, and when the quicksand scene was coming up, I tried to leave the theater, but my mom and my husband literally held me down and said, no, they are terrible people.
I still have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, they... Well, there were so many loud sobs happening from everyone in the theater. I thought, oh my God, this movie scene touched a lot of people. It was really difficult watching it on the big screen. I would imagine so. That is like my worst nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, no. I will say, though, Ferngully, hell yeah.
Can't you feel its pain?
Oh.
Oh, so good. So good. Oh, I also enjoyed Black Stallion, but I think that one was a little less instrumental in my childhood than the first two.
I can't remember if I've actually seen Black Stallion, but I was obsessed with horses, as many young girls are, as a kid. So,
oh, Black Beauty, man. Black Beauty was the best.
Mm. I only associate Black Beauty with the Jeff Buckley song about heroin.
That's true. Yeah. Well, that came second in my life. The song, not heroin.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
If I felt like I had to.
But heroin addicts came second in Shandy's life after.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So part two of the two-parter email. Hello, ladies. It's me again. My husband and I are in the hospitality industry, so we always work on New Year's Eve. Our tradition has become to make it to the beach on New Year's Day and see the sunset. Oh, that's really nice. I work really at a nice. Very popular spot to watch the sunset on the beach, so we decided to go there. My husband had recently quit smoking cigarettes, and for some reason, even though we didn't take his car, he brought the keys to his car with him. Long story short, he lost his keys, and we had to get a new ignition in the car because he had no spare set of keys. About a week later,
That's awful.
Yeah. I know. Really awful.
That is expensive. An ignition
car. Yeah, like just have a spare set somewhere.
It's like a dollar at Walmart. There's a little machine you can pick out like what design you want.
Ooh,
oh my goodness. I have so many questions about this theory. But anyway, about a week later, I'm hosting at the restaurant and a person walks in and hands me my husband's keys.
No.
They were just found, that he just found these in the sand out there. Oh my God. I couldn't believe it. What are the chances I would have ever been working when that happened?
That's crazy.
That is crazy, but also unfortunate that the ignition had already been changed.
I know, right? That it was already it was just cool to have them back, but like utterly useless.
Oh my God.
In the sand. Yeah. Oh,
the world is funny.
There was an article that I read, oh God, it had to have been a year ago, 6 months ago. It was an old lady who lost her wedding ring outside her house or while she was gardening or something. While she was gardening, I think it was. And they found it like 20 or 25 years later when a carrot grew up and it was around the carrot. This was through Facebook. It was like one of those Facebook things that you click on. Yes, I will try. Have to find that.
Isn't I think that I need insane? To see a picture to know that that's real and that someone's not just making it up because it's Miracle beautiful and poetic.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I that's choose so to cool. believe it was real.
I want to live in a world where that is real.
Yeah.
I love that.
I know. Yeah, good times. Anyway, Lindsay's making it happen. I think Lindsay also may have shared a virginity story too. So Lindsay is like two for two right now.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Atta girl.
Atta girl. Okay, I have a voicemail from Lori, and then we will wrap it up for this week. But we also have a fun link from Lori for next week, and we have a Andy's virginity update for next week as well.
Hey girls, it is Lori from New York, and I am just listening to Colleen's baby story, which is pretty amazing. Although I do have one child, I luckily had a scheduled C-section and never went into labor. So I never had to feel any of that uncomfort, which I definitely, without a doubt, do not regret. And my C-section was really easy. So I do it again in a heartbeat, although I am not having any more kids. Also, about returning makeup, Colleen, I do it all the time.
Yes!
They say you're allowed to. They don't, you know, gross. They factor, you know, in their numbers, I guess, for that. And if something, the color doesn't work for you or, you know, whatever, I mean, it's nice to have the option of returning it because some of that stuff is expensive. And I don't want to get stuck with all these colors that don't work for me. So I'm glad they do that. They only started doing that maybe like 10 years ago, I think. That was never really a thing. And then I somewhere around 10, 15 years ago. That's when they finally started it, at least like CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, stuff like that. I think you could always return it at, like, you know, the mall makeup counters type of a thing. But I think that's cool. It's not gross. It's not like they're selling it. I don't know what they're doing it with it, but whatever. It benefits us. All right. So listening to the episode, didn't finish yet, but I just had a few minutes before I go into work. So I just wanted to say hi. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. I do feel kind of bad that, or self-conscious, and she's talking about, like, you know, Lancome and, like, expensive makeup, and I'm like, my Wet n Wild mascara.
Well, and I get it, you know. It's like, yes, makeup is very expensive. As someone who had to get rid of a shit ton of their expensive makeup because their face rejected it, I get it. But personally, it's a little too ick for me.
But it's true that they're not reselling it. It's not icky. It's just like wasteful, but not, I'm not saying that like you're wasteful, Colleen, or anyone who takes it back is wasteful. It's just the whole system is wasteful, but that's like consumer culture in general. But they're not to reseal it and sell it once something like that comes back.
I don't know. The conspiracy theorists,
they're not
to think they might.
They're not.
Like, you know, it's the same thing as, like, you know, your waiter drops a fry on the floor on the food's way out and picks it back up and puts it on the plate. Like, you don't know.
Okay, that, you guys are crazy because they're not doing that.
It might. And that's enough for me.
Whatever, weirdos.
Just because I disagree does not make me a weirdo.
Okay, that's
just
fair.
Means I have a different opinion.
Yes. Speaking of wasteful, have you used your bug spray yet?
No, because I don't need to, but I probably will when the bugs come out.
Bring it down here.
We'll never get a spring. It's supposed to storm tomorrow. We may never see spring again.
You know, we usually have 80 degree weather by now, or 70 degrees, and it was 46 degrees and raining today. It sucked.
Oh my God.
We might get a foot of snow tomorrow. I don't know. It's the world we live in now. You just have to, like, be up for that.
Word.
Extreme weather.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody that provided feedback. I think next week we have some stuff, fun stuff planned. I'm totally going to find some crazy lost things found, lost and found stuff stories. If you guys have anything, that would probably be even better. Send it to thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or give us a call, 331-276-2373. Oh, yeah, the gun thing. I was like, there was something else that I was going to ask the feedback for. What do you think about the walking out in protest? Which I don't think I ever officially said that I don't have a problem with it, in that I know we look at, like, I know that some of the media is trying to make them look like bratty kids, but, like, they've gotten more accomplished in the discussion in general than anybody else has in the last 20 years. So power to them. And they're angry and they're young, and this isn't, you know, this isn't them protesting over not getting a participation trophy. Like, this is life or death to them. Like, these young adults, they're not kids. They're not kids. They're young adults. And
they've grown up with this.
Yeah. They've seen peers die, and, you know, they've watched it happen on the news. Just, you know, who wants to be scared that you have to always look for the door? And you're never the same after you go through something like this. You're never the same. Your sense of safety is gone. You walk into a room, and it doesn't matter if you're the only person in that room. Like, you're looking for the escape route, and you're looking for where you can hide, and it never goes away. So, I mean, you're fundamentally changed. So I think that the people that, and power to those other young adults who, and anybody that really can get down and understand that level and sympathize with that and wants to try to make a change too. And if doing a walkout is how they feel they can accomplish it and get the nation's attention, then good for them. Nothing else has gotten the nation's attention.
Yep. I am with these kids.
Young adults.
Young adults, you know, for what our generation couldn't do. you know, I hope these guys pick up the slack and figure it out for all of us.
Yeah.
And they're well on their way too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So if you have anything to say about that, again, holler at us. Housekeeping. Thank you to the patrons. If you'd like to become a patron again, you can take advantage of our 78% off, or I guess, what is it? 22% off?
22%? 22%. Our Women's Month special.
Women's Month special. There we go. Women's History Month special. Check that out at patreon.com/jnjack. Especially thanks to Eckhart, Tack from Tokyo, Molly the Millennial, and Ed the Creepy Funny Mailman. If you would like to shop through the Amazon Affiliates link, that would be awesome too. That costs you nothing. And that would be jnjack.com/Amazon. It'll redirect you to Amazon if you want to just set that as your homepage. That'd be awesome too. If you're interested in coming to the podcast get together weekend, that is May 4th through the 7th in Raleigh, you can shoot any one of us a message and we'll try to help you out there. The more the merrier. And then finally, we still have Julie's link for her Pure Romance page. That will be in the show notes as well and on the Facebook page. So check that out if there's anything that you would like to pick up from her Pure Romance store. I think that is all that I have. Does anybody else have anything? You know, we didn't get to as many things as we usually get to this show, but we definitely had a lot of meaty substance in it.
That's what she said.
I know. There you go.
Quality over quantity.
Exactly. You guys have anything?
That's it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'll let you know next time if I'm going to be a movie star.
Yes!
Yeah, you go get yourself discovered.
Yeah, and I'm going to go get my kid insured. It's going to be great.
Yes. Get your kid a social security number.
Yeah.
A real red-blooded American.
Yep. You're your government at work.
Yep.
You have 31 days to get on the insurance, and your card won't come for 4 to 6 weeks. Amazing. Maybe I'll get lucky and it will get here in the mail before, like, tomorrow morning or something. Probably won't, though. Anyway, okay. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And have a great weekend.
See you next week.
Bye. Bye.